Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Courtside Mavs podcast. I am your host, as always, Murphy Beckham. And alongside me, he's back and better than ever, Adam Dworsky. What's going on, my man? It's been a while since you've been on here.
Oh, it's been far too long. I was just thinking before this, I haven't even been on here since the whole Porzingis and Dinwiddie trade went down. I missed a couple of big Mavs wins, so safe to say it's been way too long.
Well, since that's the case, we got a ton to talk to you specifically about because, yeah, a lot's happened since the last time you've been on here. If you haven't been on here since the Porzingis trade, then you haven't been talking about Luka's over 40-point per game average since then. So there's certainly a lot of Mavs stuff to cover here. But also, how do you feel about the new look of the podcast? We got a brand new cover art for Courtside Mavs here. So are you a fan of it, D? I know it shows your face a little more prominently, so I figured you might like it a little bit.
I do like that part about it. I think the rebrand is good for us. It gives us a little something new heading into the post All-Star break, and so I'm excited about it. I think it's a good look for us.
Yeah, we're trying to revamp Courtside Mavs as the Mavs themselves are revamping the whole team after the big Porzingis trade. So the Courtside Mavs rebrand 2022 is in full effect here. But it's great to have you back, Adam, here for this for another episode. And so for the first rebranded episode, it's good to have you. And so we have a lot to talk about. First and foremost, two big wins for the Mavericks here. We're going to talk about the Mavs' win over the Heat and the Pelicans the last couple days. Talk about how the new guys, Davis Bertans and Dinwiddie, have been doing since they've been traded here. They've played both of those games, so we have a little bit to dive into on that. So we'll talk about that. And the Mavs standings now, because right now is the All-Star break. That last game was the last game until the All-Star break occurred. So now we have a little bit of time before the next Mavericks game. I believe the next game is on Friday the 25th, so there's about a week or so until the next game kicks in. So we're going to talk about the standings of the Mavs right now heading into this All-Star break. And then, since it is the All-Star break, there's some more basketball to talk about. So, I believe tomorrow night, it's going to be All-Star Saturday night where they get the three-point shootout, the skills contest, and the big dunk contest. So me and AD are definitely going to give you our picks. We're going to choose who we think are going to win all those. We're going to pick one dunk contest guy and a few three-point shootout guys that we think have a good shot. So, an action-packed podcast for you guys here today on Courtside Mavs. But we want to start with the big Mavs win over the tenured rival, I like to call him, the Miami Heat. And it's always a joy when the Mavs beat the Heat, not only because of the history between the two franchises, but because the Mavs just simply don't beat the Heat very often. Since that 2011 championship, this is only the fifth time the Mavericks have beaten the Heat at all in general and since then. So it was a very fun game, especially with a little bit of a comeback, but the history makes it a lot better. And the history, I think, is what made this game even more fun because I don't know if you noticed this, D, but this is the first time, or that game, excuse me, was the first time since Game 6 of 2011 that the Mavs and the Heat have both worn the uniforms that they wore in Game 6 in a game together. And so it was quite the aesthetic watching the Mavs' royal blue and the Heat's classic whites on that Heat home court going at it, just like Game 6 of 2011. So that was pretty fun to watch. But the Mavs did win this game in 2022 as well.
Yeah, only you would know that little tidbit about the uniforms. I did not know that. So that's a good catch by you there, my friend.
Yeah, I was almost watching that more than the game, but the game was also very entertaining. I mean, the Mavericks were down by 8 at halftime. It looked like, oh no, here they go again playing the Heat. They're not gonna be able to get it done. And then they really turned it around in that second half. Luka didn't have his best game shooting wise overall. I believe he was 5 for 19 from the floor for the whole game. But he was finding guys like crazy, getting a lot of hockey assists, I believe. A pass two assist type situations there. So that would definitely help his 2K teammate grade a lot. But in this game, as I said, the trail by 8 at half. And then Maxey got a layup with about 3:03 left in that fourth quarter to give the Mavs a 10-point lead for the first time at the game, 91-81. And so it looked like the Mavericks were going to actually cruise to a nice little victory here in Miami. But that didn't quite last. As we know, the Mavericks have had a little bit of trouble closing this season. And so the Heat got it back to 99-95 when Jimmy Butler knocked down a couple shots. And then Brunson and Maxey knocked down both a couple of threes to really solidify this win for the Mavs. And that last one from Kleba in the corner off the nice dish from another hockey assist, Luka to Powell, Powell to Kleba in the corner. I believe it was Brunson actually to Powell, and then Powell to Kleba, knocking down that corner three to really end this game. And Jimmy Butler, even after the game, said it was a playoff-type atmosphere, and that's pretty high praise coming from a guy like him. So what do you think about this game, Adam? It was really exciting from start to finish, a nice little comeback, and if Jimmy Butler is giving the Mavs praise, then you know it's deserved.
Yeah, it definitely had that sort of playoff feel to it. I think you look at it, it's a really good win for the Mavs. It's the best team in the Eastern Conference, right? Record-wise, and not to mention the Heat are a team that – I mean, their record's really good, yeah. And for a large chunk of the season, they've had guys missing. I feel like they haven't had their core group together for a large chunk of the season, and they're still able to win games. And the other night when Dallas came to town, they had, I mean, most of their guys. Tyler Hero was out. A couple of rotation players like that weren't playing tonight. But you'd like to think that when the playoffs come around, the starting five for the Heat that night is going to be the same in the playoffs, right? They had Butler, Adebayo, Lowry, PJ Tucker and Duncan Robinson. So they had, for the most part, they had their guys. So it was good to see the Mavs go on the road and get a win like that, especially after, you know, all that went down in the at the trade deadline. Good to kind of prove to ourselves even that, you know, with this new look that we have, that this is the type of game we're capable of playing.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about this a little more later, but this trade seems a little bit like it's unleashed Luka Doncic. Not because I think he had any sort of vendetta against Porzingis, but I don't know what's going on, because Porzingis wasn't even really playing before the trade, but Luka was playing really well even when Porzingis was out before he got traded, and then since then he just really stepped up. And so we'll talk about that a little more later too, why that's been going on. But this also snapped Miami's 5-game win streak, so it's not like they were struggling right now either. They've been playing pretty well, but that just goes to show you this Dallas team and the way that they're built. They've been doing this all season. You know, they ended Chicago's 9-game win streak earlier this season at home, knocked off Memphis's 11-game win streak. And so they've been doing it all year, and it feels a lot like the championship season in terms of that, because that, you know, they were considered the streak busters, back then. But this Miami game was the first game since the trade that we got to see the debut of our two new Dallas Mavericks, Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. It was a sight to see for a few reasons. It didn't quite go the way we expected. I'd say pretty reverse of the way that we thought that these guys had panned out here in this first game, at least, for the Mavs. Dinwiddie really struggled tonight. Not, you know, from a playmaking perspective. He had 5 assists, but, you know, only 4 points. And he, you know, he didn't, you know, -3 in terms of his box plus minus. 2 of 5 from the field, 0 of 2 from downtown of this game. He missed all 4 of his free throws. He seemed like he was definitely getting his sea legs under him by joining this team and playing this game. But, you know, it's going to take some time, especially when you're a guard playing with Luka, to get accustomed to it. But when you're a shooter playing with Luka, it doesn't take long at all. Davis Bertans played really well in his first game, I'd say. 12 points, 3 for 7 from downtown. This was his fifth highest scoring game of the entire season already. And I think that's 12 points is more than he scored in the last month or two in Washington. So his first game playing with Luka, he really stepped up and knocked down some big shots. So maybe I thought that maybe this trade might just be considered addition by subtraction, just because of the way the Mavericks are going to be able to play without having to focus on getting Porzingis' touches, getting him his post-ups, and having him be a liability on defense, on the perimeter at least. But it hasn't even been an addition by subtraction, because these new guys have, well, I mean, even Dinwiddie last game, but Bertans especially, they've actually stepped up and played pretty well. So I don't know. A lot of people were hating on this trade, but it's not looking too bad right now.
Yeah, Dinwiddie looked like he was just kind of taking a back seat almost in his first time out there, kind of playing a little bit more reserved than usual, just trying to make the right pass, wasn't trying to do too much on offense. Bertans was literally the complete opposite. Anytime he catches the ball on the perimeter, to him, he's open, which I like. He's got such a quick release and a good-looking shot. It's every time he's one of those guys where every time he shoots it, I think it's going in, or at least I hope it's going in. He definitely provided a big spark for the Mavs off the bench, but you know, Dinwiddie's box score wasn't good, but he's one of those guys, to me, just watching him play, it looks like he makes the right play a lot of the time. He's got the ball in his hands. I feel comfortable with him coming off ball screens. You mentioned the hockey assist earlier that Luka's making. A lot of times Dinwiddie's making hockey assists, right? He's finding the right guys. And like you said, I mean, I'm sure he'll get more and more comfortable as time goes on playing alongside Luka and Brunson, and just kind of finding his role on the team. But you know, I thought they both helped in their own way, and it was really big to see, like you said, not only that Porzingis is out of the lineup and our other guys are able to focus on some of the things they do better. But to have those two new guys step up, step in, and make an impact right from the jump, I thought that was really big to see.
Yeah, and you said it, Dinwiddie doesn't really seem to have he doesn't really seem to ever think he's cold, no matter how many shots he misses. And sometimes that can be a really good thing, and it definitely helped because he missed a few of his first shots in this game, in his first game as a Mavs. So I thought, you know, he's probably going to get a little nervous and shut down a little bit because a lot of the guys the Mavs have are sort of like that. You know, Maxey's a bit timid when he starts missing a few shots. The only guy we really have like that's Tim, and Tim's not playing. So I guess it's nice to have him do that. I mean, to be fair, he shot 7 threes again in that Pelicans game, only knocked down one of them. So he's got a quick trigger no matter how hot he is. But if he's going to be making them, it's certainly going to help. And it's going to open up a lot. If he can just catch it and fire immediately on a pass from Luka, that's gonna really open up a lot on the offensive end. But winning this game just also, in my opinion, goes to show how much the Mavericks have grown just as a team. You know, beating good teams is something that it doesn't really happen unless you're a really good team on your own. You know, a lot of the decent teams have decent records because they can beat the bad teams and lose to the good teams. And that's what the Mavericks are doing this season. You know, we've seen that they've been really, really good against the poor teams in this league, and they've seemed to struggle against the good teams. The Mavericks were 6-11 in 2021 against teams 500 and above. And now since New Year's Day, which is subsequently, I mean, also happened to be the day that Luka came back from his injury in the COVID protocol. But since that day, the Mavericks are now 8-2 against teams that are above 500. That's pretty insane, honestly. That's like contender level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, those.
I'm not calling the Mavs contenders, excuse me, but I'm just saying that stat there, that number, it's what contenders do.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are the teams you're going to be playing in the playoffs, right? You're going to be playing the Warriors. You know, hopefully, if everything works out, we could be playing the Heat in the playoffs potentially. But yeah, it's kind of making that. That's kind of all what it's all about, making that jump from, okay, we can beat the bad teams, lose to the good teams. Okay, well, how do we get to that next level? We got to start finding ways to win against good teams, even better when it's on the road like it was the other night. And so, again, just really good to see. One of the things, you know, that people were kind of speculating that could be a problem for the Mavs post-trade is, okay, Porzingis is pretty decent at rim protection. The Heat's got Bam Adebayo, one of the, you know, the premier low post players in the league, and I thought just as a team collectively we did a pretty good job that night. Maxey had, I think, 5 blocks that night. He was big.
He was incredible.
Powell did what he needed to do. So I mean, I think it's just going to be one of those things where we're not going to have one guy that's going to shut down the other team's low post threat, but it's going to have to be by committee. And Mavs proved the other night that they can do that.
Defense by committee is something the Mavericks have done really well this season, and yeah, especially that Heat game. I mean, Bam did have 21 points, shot 10 of 19 from the field, but he's capable of so much more, and he's shown the Mavericks that he can provide so much more against this team in the past. But now the defense by committee was certainly effective tonight, but Maxey was definitely a standout for sure on the defensive end with those 5 blocks. Looked to me like he had more like 6 or 7, but he was really the anchor in that game for sure for the Mavs, as once again they held a really good team under 100 points, and so. The 107-99 was the final score in that game, so the Mavericks held it down on defense without their quote-unquote defensive anchor in Porzingis after this trade has gone down. So things are certainly looking up when the Mavericks are playing the good teams in this league. There was another game that the Mavericks did. They played the Pelicans last night after this big Heat game. So, you know, a nice huge win over a contending team, the best team in the East. Maybe the Mavericks will relax a little bit, you know, lay off the gas against a sorry Pelicans team that they see all the time. They're in their division. But you know what? Luka Doncic said that's not going to happen today. It appeared to me like he did a bit of the Michael Jordan, you know, I took that personally meme when he was chirping with a fan courtside the entire night. And, you know, I feel like for a guy like Luka, it would be a little tougher to wake up and say, I'm gonna put up 50 on a team like the Pelicans on Bally Sports and League Pass. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do today. Yeah, I feel like that might be he's going to be a little less motivated in games like this. So it seemed like he did the whole Michael Jordan thing where he found his own motivation during the game. There's a fan he was talking to the entire time courtside. He said after the game that the fan was being disrespectful to him. And so that's what I think that's what got into Luka and what made him have such an amazing night. 49 points. He really should have had a lot more. 45 through three quarters, 17 of 35 from the field, 7 of 14 from downtown, made four of his first five threes, 15 rebounds as well to go with eight assists from those 49. He had two free throws at the very end of the game with, 13 or so seconds left to get himself 50. You could see him mouthing, just got to make one, just got to make one, as he was walking down the court to the free throw line. And then he back-rimmed both of them back-to-back. So I'm sure he was a little bit upset about that. But it didn't matter in the end because the Mavericks were still able to pull off the nice win. Lucas said that sometimes it's different when you're playing away games. First they're booing, then they're like amazed, is what he said. And that's how I felt watching this game. Not the booing part, but just every time I watch him, especially now, I think this might be the best stretch of his career because he's just – he amazes me every time he plays now with just what he's been doing. He's doing everything that he used to do just on another level, in my opinion.
Yeah, here's an idea I just had pop in my mind. What if Mavs fans, what if the Mavs organization funded like a courtside ticket for, they pick a certain fan every away game that's a Mavs fan, but they have him wear the opposing team's jersey and just start chirping Luka, see if we can't get him going, and you know, so. Kind of, you know, we got a Mavs fan, so he's working in the Mavs' favor, but a guy that just sits courtside and maybe tries to get under Luka's skin, because whatever we can do to get Luka to play like last night, I mean, there's not many teams in the NBA. They're going to beat us when Luka's going for 50.
That's a good idea. I was go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the thing about Luka playing recently, I mean, people kind of joke beginning of the season, oh, Luka, you know, Luka's overweight, Luka's out of shape. I mean, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but you can just see game by game he's getting his legs under him. He's losing weight. I mean, he's had three or four dunks now in the last couple of weeks, where earlier in the season we're not seeing those type of plays. He just looks like he's moving so much better out there, and obviously the 3-point shot is starting to fall. That's probably a big reason why. You know, he's scoring so many points, obviously, 7 for 14 the other night, and so that's opening up a lot of other things for his game. But he just looks like he's moving so much better out there, and it's honestly pretty scary for the rest of the league.
That's a really interesting thought you bring up about getting a Mavs fan courtside seats and giving them, whatever, a Heat jersey or a Suns jersey and having them heckle Luka, respectfully, of course, have him heckle Luka the entire game. That could be effective. The only issue that I see potentially with that is, whenever I'm at a game and I'm watching the Jumbotron, and it's the Mavs used to do this. I think they learned their lesson and stopped, but a lot of teams plant a fake fan or so, like probably a team employee or something. They put them in just a generic Grizzlies shirt or whatever the other team they're playing is, like just a logo t-shirt and a hat with just a logo on it, which it's so obvious. Nobody wears that, but they throw them in that outfit and throw them on the Jumbotron and then have them pretend to, you know, get excited about their shirt or something, and then they have the mascot go, if it's Chicago, he'll Benny the Bull go dump popcorn on them, or you know, go push them out of their seat or something, or crack an egg on their head, whatever it is. So, and after over time, you catch on to that, and you're like, come on, man, this is getting kind of redundant. So I'm worried if maybe that might slow Luka down even more. You know, he might be saying these guys are really just trying to do everything they can to get the best, to get another 50-point performance out of me. I'm not going to stoop down to this level, and, you know, I'm not going to interact with this fake fan who's pretending to heckle me this whole game just so I can perform better for the team. That might make him a little angry, you know? It makes me angry when I'm sitting there watching on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not do it every game. Maybe pick, you know, maybe one or two per month, maybe the important ones, and so yeah, Luka isn't able to catch on to you know, what we're doing as much, keep our cover, so to speak, and so... Hey, just an idea, though. Just
I guess, you know, around. If you did it every once in a while, and maybe you made the fan just absurdly disrespectful, just said some things that you would never even dream of saying, then I feel like Luka might go out there and score 70.
Yeah, well, like I said, whatever the Mavs as an organization need to do to keep Luka engaged and doing whatever he's doing this past couple of weeks, I say we got to at least try.
We gotta at least try, because in my opinion, this might be the best stretch of Luka's entire career, these last 10 games or so, since he got zero All-Star votes from the media, whenever that was. I'm not sure exactly how many games ago it was, but since that day when he received those zero All-Star votes, he's put up 35.5 points per game, 10.5 boards per game, about 10 assists per game, and he shot 43% from downtown on about 10 attempts every night. And that's those numbers are not only All-Star starter numbers, but just they're runaway MVP numbers. And it's just crazy. He's put up as I said earlier, 41.5 in the last three or four games since Porzingis got traded. So these numbers are literally MVP type numbers. And if he was playing like this and was in shape and was disengaged from the get-go in the season, there's no doubt in my mind that he would be very first place in the MVP voting right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, I mean, I wouldn't say it's too late. You know, it's only the All-Star break. And, I mean, well, he's still averaging 27 and almost 9 rebounds, 9 assists for the year. So, I mean, his numbers are still there, even, you know, despite a somewhat sluggish start. And so, I mean, if he keeps scoring 49 points every other game as the season progresses, I think he's going to have a real chance to be in that conversation, you know, come the end of the year.
Well, I sure hope so. There's not too much time left, and there's a lot of guys who are having really good seasons, but I hope he can find a way to get his name in that conversation at least a little bit. There's some guys certainly on the MVP ladder right now, like Job, that he should, I think, be ahead of. But, I mean, if you're not first, you're last, especially with the MVP race, so it doesn't really matter. You know, James Harden's only got one, even though he's been second about 8 times. So, yeah, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. I do want to talk about CJ McCollum, though, a little bit, because he was having himself quite the game last night. But since he got traded to New Orleans, he's been playing really well. He had 38 last night on the Mavs, and he was a huge part of their comeback. The Mavericks were up a ton in the fourth quarter, I think 24 points, and that's why Luka was almost not going to play in the fourth quarter, and he was going to end with about 47 because they didn't need him to. And then all of a sudden, CJ McCollum just catches absolute fire, and Luka has to come back in and try to get 50, even though he couldn't. But Luka had to come back in and see if he could salvage this game, because CJ McCollum was really leading the Pelicans to one of the greatest fourth quarter comebacks I've seen in a long time, if they could have pulled it off. I brought them back into 4 points, within 4 points late in that game. And so, yeah, he had 38 points. And in 3 of his 5 games with the Pelicans since he's been traded there, he's put up over 30 points. And he's averaging 28-6-5 for the Pelicans so far. So CJ McCollum has been a bright spot for this Pelicans team. And we learned that yesterday, I think it was, that Zion's going to have another surgery on his foot. So he's certainly going to be out for the rest of the season, I think. But having CJ there for the future, whew, this team could be dangerous. And that, because come winning time, you know, in crunch time of that game yesterday, it was a little bit worrisome, because you're playing against a bunch of guys who can win a game by themselves almost. You know, Brandon Ingram's a former All-Star. Devontae Graham can hit tough shots. And Herb Jones, the lockdown defender. And then, of course, CJ McCollum has done some incredible things in his career, had some really clutch Game 7 moments and stuff like that, been to the conference finals. So a close game with the Pelicans is always a little bit scary, but I just wanted to give CJ McCollum a little bit of flowers, because he's been incredible since he got there.
Yeah, rightfully so. It's funny, you didn't even hear much about what he did last night, which is unfortunate. I mean, obviously, Luka scored 49, so if there is any talk about the Mavs game last night, it was Luka. But yeah, his performance last night certainly should not be overshadowed. He was super efficient, too, 14 of 26 from the field. He had 7 of his 10 threes. Like he said, it's an incredible comeback in the fourth quarter that was, you know, mostly CJ McCollum, to be honest. And so, you know, it's just good to see him kind of transitioning well into his new situation, and I just wish him continued success in New Orleans.
Yeah, new situation is sometimes fruitful for guys like this, who it seemed like he just needed to get out of Portland. It'd been too long. He'd been hurt a lot this season with that collapsed lung, and so a new situation for him certainly seems to be helping him. I think he talked after the game about how he's still trying to find the best places to eat in New Orleans. So he could certainly ask Zion about that if he needs to. But regardless,
easy now.
Hey, I'd love to have Zion on the team, but I mean, if you've seen him lately, he don't look like Duke Zion anymore. He might be tearing through his shoes for a different reason, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Luckily, the Mavs don't have to worry about any guys with serious injury problems anymore after this huge trade deadline that went down. So, yeah, the trade deadline was a couple days ago, or a little bit earlier this week, and so which means that now the All-Star break has come, and officially it has started since the Mavericks beat the Pelicans yesterday, and that was the final game before the All-Star break. So which means tonight, I believe, is going to be the Rising Stars game, as well as maybe the Celebrity game. Tomorrow night, which is going to be Saturday, the 19th, that's when we're going to have All-Star Saturday night. You got the skills challenge, you got the 3-point shootout, the dunk contest. And then Sunday, of course, is the actual All-Star game, which we'll see Luka Doncic coming off the bench for Team LeBron in. So when we come back from this break, me and Adam are going to take our picks, see who we think is going to win the dunk contest, the 3-point shootout, and even the skills challenge. So If you're a betting person, get out a pen and paper because you're going to want to take some notes here. So we'll be right back. And we're back here at the Courtside Mavs podcast. I'm your host, Murphy Beckham, alongside your co-host, Adam Dworsky. And so now it is officially time for us to take a deep dive into All-Star Weekend 2022 and tell you guys, the listeners, exactly who's going to win every single event for All-Star Saturday night and who's going to win the All-Star Game MVP on Sunday. So a lot of really good information here if you're keeping track. You're going to want to listen to this for sure. But it all starts off on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern with the Skills Challenge. So I know it's a little bit different this year, Adam. Do you know really what's going on with the Skills Challenge this year?
Yeah, so I was reading up on it earlier. So this is a team event this year. So there's going to be three teams. There's the team Antetokounmpo, which is the three brothers there. There's a Cavs team. It consists of Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. And then the final team is Team Rook, which has Scottie Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Josh Giddey, three rookies there. And so basically it's a little different this year. So there's going to be three rounds that all three teams will participate in, right? So the first round is going to be shooting, where from what I understand, this is kind of like the old hot shot that I used to be so good at in Fireman basketball camp days, where each player on the team will shoot shots for 30 seconds while his other two teammates are rebounding, and you get basically the further you are from the basket, the more points you get per shot. And one of those things, right, where you can't shoot the same shot twice. So maybe you shoot a layup, then you back up, and you shoot a mid-range, and you go to a three, and so you're just alternating like that. And so each team will get points in that round, and then the second round is going to be a passing, where basically there's going to be like some moving targets that are roaming around on the baseline, and they're going to be different sizes and distances from the players. And so the three teams are going to be passing into those targets, seeing who can do the best at that. The third round is going to be what we're accustomed to seeing, right? Which is like a little bit of like a relay, where you got to go through a little obstacle course almost, where you got to throw a pass into a little target, then you got to dribble through some cones and make a shot. Those sort of things. And so after those three rounds are completed, the two teams with the most points after those three rounds will then compete in a half-court shot, a competition where basically a minute and a half can be on the clock. One team goes and just alternates shooting half-court shots until they make it, unless the time runs out, and then the other team will have to make their shot, you know, quicker than the first team did, and that'll be your skills contest winner. So a little different than in years past. I don't know if I like it better or dislike it. It's certainly kind of interesting, but I don't know. Who do you think wins of the three teams?
Well, this is really interesting, the way that they're making this so, like, I don't know. If there's going to be specific challenges for passing and shooting, then why would they make teams where one team consists of essentially three guards who can pass and shoot like none other? You know, Josh Giddey, who's one of the best passing rookies in the league, Cade Cunningham, who might be the best rookie we have this year, and he's just an all-around player. He's a great passer, great shooter. And Scottie Barnes, who's a versatile player who can pass and shoot the ball. Three of those guys, and on all the other teams, there's one other good guard, essentially, that's on any of these other teams. Darius Garland, who's an all-star this year with Cleveland. He's the only other solid guard, really, that's on these teams. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley are his teammates, the two tallest guys on his team to go along with this, you know, point guard skills challenge. And then Team Antetokounmpo is all bigs, essentially. I mean, we know Giannis plays like a guard and can do all guard things. But I'm not so sure Thanasis and Alex Antetokounmpo are going to be very on target and just have amazing passes and be knockdown shooters. And I don't know about their skills challenge efficiency. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these three teams pan out. It's going to be a new event in general because it's all different this year, as you just described it. So it's going to be interesting to see just how it all plays out. But if I'm betting here, I'm definitely taking the Team Rooks with Scottie Barnes, Cade Cunningham, and Josh Giddey. They just seem like the only team made up of all three guys who are built for this contest.
Yeah, that's probably a safe pick. I'll go with the Team Cavs for my pick. I don't think that the Antetokounmpos are equipped to win this, especially with, you know, a whole round being focused on just on shooting.
Ouch, that hurts.
Not that the Cavs necessarily have great shooters, but I do think Darius Garland is the most well-rounded participant in the whole thing. Just the fact that he can
Yeah.
shoot, he can score from anywhere, he's a good passer, he's quick, right, for the relay. So I think maybe the team Cavs having the best player in the challenge, so to speak, maybe that'll carry them to a victory. So I'll go ahead and take them as my pick for the skills challenge.
So you're going with the top heaviness of Garland. You think that because I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Darius Garland is certainly the best player in this group of guys and the best suited for this challenge, but he's playing with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, two guys who two centers. I mean, Jared Allen is really doesn't do much but run, jump, and dunk and block shots, of course. And Evan Mobley is a little bit more versatile, but not by too much. I just don't personally see how Garland being as good as he is can carry those two guys in this exact event to a victory. But I think this is more of a team thing for sure. I don't know how it's gonna all, you know, have to be done time wise and score wise, but I just don't think that Garland has enough to make up for almost just essentially Jared Allen alone, who's also actually an all-star this year. He's been selected as another injury replacement here. So, yeah, I don't see how it's going on, but we'll see how it goes. So you've got Team Cavs, I've got Team Rooks for the most boring challenge of All-Star Weekend. So I cannot wait until 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday to watch Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley go at it in the Skills Challenge. But there is actually some entertaining events on Saturday too. So following that one, we have the 3-point contest, and there's a lot of good contestants in this one. Fred VanVleet from the Raptors is going to be in it. Desmond Bane from the Grizzlies, which hurts to see him in there because the Mavericks easily could have had him. Everyone wanted the Mavs to get him, but they didn't. But he's going to be a 3-point shootout contestant. Another guy here, Luke Kennard for the Clippers. So we finally get a lefty in here. So it'll be cool to see a lefty knock down some tray balls in this contest. Maybe he moves the racks to the other side for easier pickup. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. We also have Zach LaVine potentially going for a chance to be the first guy to win the 3-point shootout and the dunk contest ever. No one's ever won both of them. So he just keeps entering the 3-point shootout year in and year out to try to be the first one ever. Maybe this is his year, maybe not. Another guy who we've been talking about a lot today, CJ McCollum, is going to be in this 3-point contest. Patty Mills of the Brooklyn Nets is going to be in here. The best big man shooter of all time, Karl-Anthony Towns, is going to be in here. And Trae
Of
Young's going to
course.
round out this final seven there. So a lot of good players in here, a lot of good names. It's going to be fun to watch because all these guys can certainly shoot the basketball. But I'm gonna let you go first, Adam. Who do you think? We're gonna pick three players each, but if you had to pick one, who's your number one guy that you would throw all your chips in for and say, this guy's the best shooter here, the most consistent. He's just a dead eye. He's gonna win this contest. Which of these guys you got, D?
I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna go with the southpaw, Luke Kennard, fresh off an 8-for-9 from downtown performance in the last game before the All-Star break. So he's got the hot hand coming in. The lefty, I'm gonna go with Luke Kennard.
You think that he's gonna continue his hot streak from, I guess, did they play yesterday? The Clippers? Was that their last
I
game
can't
before the
remember.
break, or was
They
it
did. It
yeah,
was either
oh yeah, they
yesterday or
beat
the day
the
before, maybe,
yeah, they
but.
beat the they beat the Rockets yesterday, yeah. So, oof. So you mean
Eight
to
for
tell
nine from
me,
three, though.
yeah, he was 25 points, 8 from 9 from deep. So you think that he's going to continue that hot streak. It is only 2 days later, so technically this is about the amount of time it would take for one game to transition to the next game. So I could certainly see him continuing to be hot throughout this and knocking down some more threes in this contest. But he's really your number one option. You just like the way the lefty shoot or what?
Yeah, I don't know. He's hot right now. The basket's looking pretty big for him at the moment.
He's a
I've always
Clipper
kind of
though.
liked
Come
his
on,
game,
man.
even back. Yeah, even back when he was at Duke, I've always liked his game. And so, yep, Luke Kennard, that's my first pick. What about yours?
I've always been pretty high on him even since his Detroit days, but he was not the guy that I would go with first here. I just don't think, I don't know. He is hot though, but I want a guy with consistent form and a guy who doesn't have to use too much effort to jump off the ground to knock down these shots. And there's two guys who fit that perfectly in here, two guys who hardly jump at all when they're knocking down threes. One of them is Karl-Anthony Towns, who I don't think jumps in general ever when he shoots threes, and the other guy is Trae Young. And Trae Young's a little bit less consistent in my opinion, but I don't know, in a contest like this, I just don't think Karl-Anthony Towns has what it takes mentally to be able to know that the whole world's watching him just shoot the ball over and over and all these stars are watching him shoot. I think he's a little too mentally weak for this contest. So I think my first pick, I'm going to go with Trae Young here to win the contest.
I'll give you a little snake draft here, so I'll give you another pick. How about that?
All right. Well, Trae Young's my first pick. Towns would be a good second pick if I was just going strictly off of the basis of how they shoot and how the best shooters for this contest shoot. But as I said, I don't think he's got it in him to do this in front of all the people that are going to be watching. So my next pick here, since we've been praising him so much, and I love his game, and he's also got a pretty consistent form, I'm gonna take CJ McCollum here. He does jump a little bit more on his threes than some of these guys. His form takes a little bit longer, but he's just got such a sweet shooting stroke that there's no way I can't take him here. So CJ McCollum is definitely my next guy here.
Yeah.
I hate to cut you off, but another guy who, just like Luke Kennard, incredibly hot lately.
Yeah, hey, fair enough. I'll give you that. That's a good point. I was just got me thinking about, like, I was thinking about picking Patty Mills next, but I think it is a little bit of a disadvantage, a guy that has, like, Patty Mills that catches it and literally jumps as high as he can and shoots it, you know, high points it when he shoots it. I just feel like it's harder to get into rhythm as opposed to a guy like Trae Young or Karl-Anthony Towns who are literally just picking the ball off the rack, letting it go, and grabbing the next one. And so I'm glad you brought up that point. I'm going to go with my boy Fred VanVleet for pick two.
Of course. I knew you'd take him.
Yeah, I had to take him at some point. I'm a little worried about the arc of his jump shot. You know, it's one of those things where if he's one of those guys that likes to wait and see if the ball goes in before going to the next one, it could be a little bit of a problem. But if he's just letting them fly and grabbing the next ball and letting the next one fly, I think we could be in business there. So so let's see, VanVleet, and then I had Kennard for my first pick. And I am going to go Patty Mills, actually. I'm going to contradict myself for my third and final pick. I think he's got the capability of getting hot. He's got a fairly quick release, and so maybe he'll alter his jump shot to where he's not jumping quite as high for the three-point contest. So those are my three guys.
I was actually gonna go with Patty Mills as my last pick until you brought up the point that he does shoot at like the top of his arc on the jump shot, kind of like Monte did back in the day, and so yep. I kind of went away from that the second you said it. So I'm glad you took him there because I wasn't going to. But I did kind of want Fred VanVleet because he does have a pretty sweet and effortless form, it seems like. So, but for my last pick, I want Zach LaVine to win just because he's been doing it for so many years, and it seems like he wants it so bad, but he just simply can't get it done. Because I mean, he's a great shooter, don't get me wrong, and he certainly has the capability to get real hot real fast, but he's going up against the best shooters in the world here, and he's not quite one of the best shooters on the planet. So I think that's why he's struggled in recent years. But if any of the years that it's going to happen, it's going to happen this year. He's not going against Steph. He's not going against Klay Thompson. These are all guys that he could potentially beat, guys who haven't won it before. So he could beat any of these guys. And so if this is going to be his year, then he better take full advantage of it because he's not going to get this chance again, I don't think.
Yeah, I respect that pick. I wouldn't mind seeing him win it. I'm just kind of with you. I just don't think he's necessarily termed as quite the shooter that some of these other guys are. But you know, the whole idea of this 3-point contest where you're grabbing the ball off the rack is just so different than anything else. There could be, you know, there's always guys that are more comfortable doing that, and then there's guys that all they can do is, you know, catch a pass from a teammate or whatever and make the three. And so it'll be interesting for sure. I'd say it's anybody's ball game.
Certainly is. We'll see how it goes down. I hope Zach LaVine wins just for his own mental sake. But even if he doesn't, he's still a dunk contest champion. And that's the next event we got to talk about here. So following the 3-point contest, we have the, maybe it's still Sprite Slam Dunk Contest. I don't even know what it's sponsored by anymore. But the NBA All-Star Weekend Slam Dunk Contest. Is it the AT&T now?
AT&T. It is.
Okay, I didn't know that. AT&T Slam Dunk. Well, that's not quite as fun as Sprite, but either way, it's what it's going to be. So I guess as the name gets worse, the contestants get worse too. So let's go ahead and read off who's going to be in the dunk contest here. First of all, we have a good dunker who's shown off some pretty impressive things in games. Obi Toppin coming back to the dunk contest again from the New York Knicks. A rookie here, Jalen Green of the Houston Rockets, is going to be in the dunk contest, and he's going to be fun to watch, a short little athletic guard who can certainly get up there. And then next two are a little bit of surprises here, these next two guys that are in the dunk contest. I didn't really expect them to be here, but I mean, thinking about it, they can certainly get up, and they've had some stylish dunks in their NBA tenure, especially the second guy. But Cole Anthony of the Orlando Magic, the guard there, a young guard, is going to be getting his first shot at the dunk contest. And Juan Toscano-Anderson of the Golden State Warriors was going to be getting his first shot at the dunk contest too. And Juan had a really nice dunk earlier in this season, like a one-handed poster. I forget who he dunked on earlier, but it was a pretty impressive dunk. Cole Anthony's had some good dunks in his career, but I'm not loving this lineup here. It feels like every year, less and less big names want to get involved in this contest, and I don't know, these guys they're going to be entertaining to watch dunk, I feel like, but it takes away from it when you know the casual fan doesn't know any of these names, right?
Yeah, I think I'm more excited to watch the skills competition this year than to watch these guys.
Hey, at least we got Giannis in the skills contest, you know.
Yeah, this got a big name. We got a couple of actual all-stars in that. But I don't know. You know, the thing about this is that if these guys are really creative and they try, like, that's the biggest thing about guys that are in the dunk contest. Like, if they really take time and effort to try to think of something cool, and then, you know, they'll make it good. And so it'll be all right to watch. I'll give you the first pick on this one, actually.
Well, I hate that you do that, because I don't want to pick any of these guys, really. But I don't know. From what I've seen this season – okay, yeah. Toscano-Anderson's dunk was on JaVale McGee, so that makes it a little bit less impressive. So I'm not going to go with him because of that there. I think just because of the dunks I've seen in-game this season, I got to go with Obi Toppin. He's one of the few guys in recent years that has been able to have an East Bay dunk in games more than once. I think he did it on Christmas, too, going between the legs in the middle of a game for a dunk there. So he's proved it on the court, you know, in the duration of an actual NBA game. So certainly he's going to have some capabilities to pull out some huge stops here in a real dunk contest. So, yeah, if you're forcing me to pick one of these guys, I'm going Obi Toppin.
Yeah, I think that's the clear-cut first pick. I'm glad you took him. After that, I don't know. I'm thinking I'm going to go with Toscano-Anderson. I think he's have a guy that this would mean a lot to him, you know. Like, he'll put a lot of effort into it, and so – I don't think he's necessarily as athletic as a guy like Jalen Green, but maybe he's been thinking about what he's going to do for a couple weeks now, and so he might pull out something special. You never know. But I'll go with Juan.
The thing about, like, you know, Jalen Green and Cole Anthony is that they're almost Nate Robinson-esque, where they're so small that when they get up there, it's going to look really cool no matter what they do, because they're so high in the air and their feet are way off the ground, and they're 6 foot nothing, and their head's above the rim, so that's just going to look even crazier because of their size. And so that could give them a little bit of a boost, and especially because those guys really can get up, especially Jalen Green. We've seen him have some crazy, just Dennis Smith rookie year-esque dunks this season, where he kind of just runs in there and tomahawks it, either on someone or just with no one in the lane, throws it way back and dunks it. And, you know, speaking of Dennis Smith, he won, or he didn't win, but he's been in the contest multiple times just because he's a small guard who can get up there. And he reminds me a lot of Jalen Green in this contest. And Dennis Smith had some really cool dunks when he was in this contest. So I think Jalen Green is certainly my dark horse to win this, just because of how cool it looks when he dunks.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those competitions where I wouldn't be surprised if any of the four of them won. You know, like I said, I think these guys will be good because, like I said, they're all younger guys and they're all going to be creative. And I think that's the most important part about having a good dunk contest is just guys that are, you know, guys that get up for it, guys that are engaged and involved and at least put forth the effort. And so I think it'll be a good Saturday night. It's safe to say this year's All-Star weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be all entertaining stuff. The three-point contest is loaded with cool names. The dunk contest is always entertaining regardless of who's in it, except for that one year when they switched up the format and had everyone dunking at the same time. That was definitely no good. But, you know, I believe they're doing it regular here. You know, everyone gets their dunks, they get a score, try to get a 50, and we'll see who comes out on top. So it'll all be entertaining here for All-Star Saturday night. But, I mean, All-Star Saturday night seems to be what gets people up more so than the actual All-Star game during All-Star weekend. The All-Star game is still a huge event that a lot of people enjoyed. So that's going to be on Sunday night. And so, yeah, we're going to see who we think is going to win the All-Star Game MVP here, the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP award. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be Luka because he's coming off the bench. And even the last couple of years when he started, he didn't even play in crunch time, really. So I don't think it's going to be Luka. But I will give you the first pick here, Adam, on who, well, we're only picking one guy each, but I'll let you go first on who you think is going to be the All-Star Game MVP, which means you got to take into account that he has to either be, he has to win the game too. So either Team LeBron or Team Durant's going to win. And so Team LeBron looks a lot stronger, but that doesn't mean Team Durant doesn't have a chance. I mean, Durant's not even playing, but you got to think that, yeah, whoever wins this award has to be on the winning team. So so who you got, Adam?
Well, with that information in mind, I certainly think Team LeBron, top to bottom, is a much better team. And so my player pool here is going to be from Team LeBron.
Okay.
Looking at some of these guys, it's hard for me to imagine Jared Allen or even like a DeMar DeRozan. Like, I just don't think DeMar DeRozan's game necessarily translates to an all-star. Giannis is going to go out there and play as hard as he can. Probably get to the rim without much resistance. So he's definitely one of the guys I'm going to think of right when I'm thinking about MVPs. I don't think LeBron's going to put forth enough effort to win it. This may seem like an obvious choice. I'm going to go ahead and say Steph Curry's going to win the All-Star MVP this year.
I mean, I'm not so sure that's obvious. If I'm not mistaken, he doesn't have one yet. So I don't. That's a out there choice.
He doesn't have one. I got a feeling he's going to get hot, maybe go for eight threes, mid-30s points. One of those type of nights for Steph. I feel like it's the type of environment that he thrives in. Might pull up for some deep ones. So yeah, I'll go with Steph Curry for my All-Star MVP.
Okay. I'm gonna play the numbers here myself. I think that, you know, it's an All-Star game. You never know who's going to win these things. Team LeBron obviously has more talent. They got Luka Doncic, for God's sakes. But I don't know. I think just playing the numbers, if I'm just doing this smartly, I'm going to go with Joel Embiid as my All-Star Game MVP from Team Durant. And this is because, one, I picked Embiid to win league MVP this season. I'm still holding on to that. So hopefully that pans out in the end. But he's playing on a team where his other starters are Andrew Wiggins, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, and Trae Young. And, you know, those are great players, but they're not Giannis, Steph Curry, and Jokic, you know, and DeRozan. They're not the next four guys up for MVP, you know. So they're guys who are a little more passive and a little more, you know, subjective to letting Embiid kind of do his thing here. So I think if Embiid can, you know, do enough to get Team Durant over the hump to win this game, then there's no doubt about it that he wins MVP over any of the other guys on his team. And so that just means that all he has to do is win and he gets the MVP. And so I think that simply playing the numbers, Joel Embiid has my vote. He's got the best chance to win this MVP award.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. I mean, you could honestly make the argument that if you're just looking at the 10 starters for this year's game, that Embiid's teammates, the four you just mentioned, are 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, you look at, I think Steph Curry, if you just want to look straight, I'm just looking at the lineup side by side right now. If you want to compare Steph and Ja, I think you got to take Steph. DeRozan and Tatum, DeRozan's having a better year. LeBron James and Wiggins, that one's obvious. Jokic and Trae Young, I mean, very different players, both having good years, but you could take Jokic in that one. So, yeah, that's a good point. I think if Embiid can find a way to win, I think he's definitely going to be the focal point of that team. And again, nobody can guard him when they're actually trying on defense. And imagine when no one's trying, he might go for 50. So I'd say it's a pretty good choice. And, you know, go ahead.
So now, do you think that because they've kind of made this a point of emphasis to try to make this the case in the last few years, but do you think that they're going to actually try this year? Because ever since they started drafting and playing to scores and stuff, it's been a lot more competitive than it was in years past. So do you anticipate it being competitive this year? Because those are a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, it is a lot more fun to watch. There's just, you got to find that line between we want to make it a good game, want to, you know, pay respect to the game of basketball, we want to compete, show off our talents, but you draw that line where if there's any possibility of an injury or anything like that happening, right, that's when you draw the line. And so obviously there's, you know, to an extent, yeah, you play hard. You'd hate to see someone get hurt in the All-Star game. But, I mean, as far as just going out there and playing hard, I think, like you said, that's been the case the last few years. And it's certainly something that is really good for the fans to see the best, you know, the best 24 players in the world just going neck for 48 minutes. So I sure hope so. I don't know how competitive it'll be, but I think it'll be we'll see a pretty competitive game on Sunday.
Well, let us know what you guys think. You can find us on Twitter at @courtside_Mavs. Let us know who you guys think is going to win all these contests, who's going to win the All-Star Game MVP. Let us know how your bets went, taking on our advice, if you made any money, which obviously you will because we're going to get these right. So, yeah, you can let us know how you guys are feeling about our picks here on Twitter or via email or however you guys want to find us. So, yeah, which means the All-Star break has officially begun. The next couple of days are going to be action-packed with a lot of NBA action. And then a few days of silence, of solitude, and then back to action after that. So, Adam, do you have any final takeaways about this this weekend's All-Star game?
No, I mean, we talked about the All-Star game a lot. I'm just overall, I think I'm just happy with where the Mavs are at, specifically heading into the All-Star break. We won 3 out of 4, a couple of really good wins. Our new guys are doing some good things, and so All-Star weekend is going to be fun, but I think most importantly for me, the Mavs are certainly trending in the right direction heading into the mid-year break.
Well, we're certainly going to have a very big test of how this team is trending immediately after the All-Star break, because the first game back a week from today is Friday the 25th for the Mavs, and they're playing none other than the Utah Jazz, who are only a game and a half ahead of them for home court advantage in the fourth seed in the Western Conference. Mavericks are 35-24 right now. Jazz are 36-22. So a huge game for, you know, head-to-head standing-wise and for just the standings in general if the Mavericks want to take over the Jazz a spot and have home court advantage in this playoffs this year. So, yeah, a week from today is going to be a huge day for the Mavericks and for Mavericks fans to see how they really compare. They've been playing really well, as I said earlier, against good teams, and the Jazz have been quite inconsistent this year. They went on a huge losing streak, then they ended up winning 5 in a row. Now they've lost another one. They're 6-4 in their last 10, so we'll see how this team matches up against Gobert, Mitchell, and the Utah Jazz, because they are healthy again, don't get me wrong, but they've also just not been the team that we've seen the Jazz be in the past few years. So a week from today, it's going to be a great test for the Mavs and see if they can make a little bit more ground and pretty much almost past Utah in the standings for home court advantage. So we're going to be really excited to see how that goes. That's a week from today. But for now, we're going to sit back and enjoy the All-Star break, see how these guys do in the contest, watch Luka in the game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of the Courtside Mavs podcast. We'll be here to break down all the All-Star game action, All-Star weekend action very soon. And then, obviously, we'll talk about the Mavs-Jazz game and see the Mavs move up in the standings and see if Luka continue his incredibly hot streak. So be sure to stay with us at Courtside Mavs. We'll be bringing out the content like crazy. You can find us at Gmail at courtsidemavs@gmail.com or, as I said, on Twitter at @courtside_Mavs. So feel free to find us on there. Give us a follow. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening. But until then, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. And as always, let's go Mavs.